Today with Joseph Prince.
The most important thing that we can ever receive from the Lord, and anyone can receive from the Lord, salvation, forgiveness of sins, being born again, having a new standing before God. When God looks at you, God sees a righteous man, God sees a righteous woman. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you think that, that's the greatest blessing of all? Always believe God and always believe the best, amen? Even though there's a cloud in the way, always believe the sun is shining behind it. Know that this is only temporal. God's goodness will shine through, amen? Have this confidence like David in Psalms 23. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, amen? I do not know what the future holds, but I know one thing, and I know this in a certain fashion, amen? Not maybe so, hope so, but certainly, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hak, Pesach Sameach. That is Hebrew for happy Passover. Today, Jews everywhere celebrate the Passover, which is one of the grandest feasts of Israel. And it's to commemorate their deliverance from Egypt on the night of the Passover when God told them to put the blood on the doorposts. And God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The angel of death will not be permitted to enter that house. Amen. So the Passover is to commemorate that night. And it's also a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Now, what they had was just a shadow. And they celebrate the shadow every year. And there's a command from God to them. But for us, we celebrate the substance, the true Lamb of God, of which that Lamb that can never take away sins, but yet God told them to offer it to remind them of the Lamb of God that is to come. And then by the shores of the River Jordan, there came a man and he was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. As John the Baptist, and people came to him to get water baptized. But there was one particular day, John looked up and John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I love the way the Bible says it. Behold, look, the Lamb of God. Amen. Remember when Abraham brought his son up to Mount Moriah to be sacrificed? His son asked him this, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And his answer was, God will provide himself a lamb. So the answer of Isaac came to the mouth of John the Baptist many years after that. Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Every lamb that was sacrificed until then only covered sins. Only covered sins. It's like our credit card. It's not the real payment. Amen. The real payment comes when you have to pay, actually at the end of the month, right? You have to pay for what you have purchased with your credit card. So the lamb just covers sin, but the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, came and takes away the sin of the world. And I love the way the Bible says about that night when they observed the Passover, they put the blood on the doorpost. I love this because the analogy of the cross is seen here, the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel, and you see the cross. And we even back then, the Holy Spirit was instructing them to portray the cross of Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And on that night, when God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You know what they were doing in the households? All right, they were all partaking of the roasted lamb. And the Bible says in Psalms 105, the very next day, and I love the way the Bible says it again, when God brought them out, He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one feeble person. So whatever they partook of that night, that must be some power food. Amen. And they partook of that food the very next day. Not one grandfather, not one grandmother, not one young person, not one man, not one woman, not one feeble among all their tribes, and there were about 2 or 3 million of them that came out, free people, the next day. So that's why the Jewish people are celebrating all over the world at this time. And I rejoice because, you know, I thank God that God told them to keep on observing this festival, this feast. Amen. One of the grandest feasts of the 7 feasts of Israel, because it keeps it alive. Amen. It's like a visual aid for people to always remember the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, friend, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There's no other way. Amen. We cannot atone or remove our sins by our good works. No amount of good works is enough. Can ever reach the standard of God's requirement. Amen. His true righteousness demands a perfect sacrifice. And that's why all the lambs they chose has to be without blemish. It's a picture of Jesus to come. Amen. The lamb that was offered at Calvary's cross. Think about it. God gave us his only begotten son. It was Jesus who told Nicodemus that night, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Think about it. The devil wants you to always second guess God. Amen. To doubt God's intent to bless you and to show you good. Amen. All the days of your life. The devil wants to question God's goodness. And that's what, that was the mother of all temptations in the garden. The devil says that God, the devil came to Eve and said, "Did God say that you cannot eat of the trees of the garden?" You see, making God appear like he's not good, he's not generous, he's holding back on them. And that's the same tactic the devil is using today on many believers, making them doubt God's goodness. Amen. So everyone that preaches about God's goodness to you, let me tell you this, God bless them. May their ministry continue to flourish. Amen. God is a good God. Hallelujah. And we need to always remind ourselves, amen, the devil is a liar. The devil hates you with a perfect hatred, just as God loves you with an everlasting love. Amen. And his perfect love for you cast out every fear. If you want to doubt, my friend, doubt the devil's intentions. If you want to doubt, doubt the devil's words. Amen. Don't side with someone who hates you. Amen. Yeah, don't side with a hater. Amen. Don't side with the devil. Always believe God and always believe the best. Amen. Even though there's a cloud in the way, always believe the sun is shining behind it. Know that this is only temporal. God's goodness will shine through. Amen. Have this confidence like David in Psalms 23. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Amen. I do not know what the future holds, but I know one thing. And I know this in a certain fashion. Amen. Not maybe so, hope so, but certainly, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, for these past few weeks, we've been touching on the subject of healing. And it's something that God is restoring in these last days. And friend, sometimes we treat this subject with an attitude of like, take it or leave it. You know, it can be a subject you want to preach on. You know, you're happy about it, preach it, you know, but it's not necessary. It's not an important doctrine. Let me tell you this. Jesus died on the cross, amen, for our sins, amen, to remove sins from our from the eyes of a holy God, from our lives, amen, so that we stand before God. You see, there's still sin in us. Even today, there's still sin in us, but there's no sin on us in God's eyes because it's all been removed at the cross. Let me say that one more time, all right? Though there's sin in us, and we know, we feel its temptations, we feel its tendencies, its inclinations, its proclivities, but there's no sin on us in the eyes of God. When God looks at you, God sees you holy, blameless, and righteous in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we always judge our behavior based on our standing before God. And our standing before God is righteousness. We are righteous as a gift. Amen. The Bible says today, the holiness that we feared so much in the Old Testament, you know, they feared the holiness of God. And even many sinners, you know, if they believe in God, but it's because they fear the holiness of God, they put God out of their minds. Amen. It is the holiness that puts them in fear. But actually for the believer, the holiness of God is our confidence. Amen. Because the holiness of God today is on our side. The Bible says because of what Jesus has done at the cross, in that he bore all your sins at the cross, today God's holiness demands your acquittal. God's holiness demands your justification. God's holiness wants you to know that you are made righteous, not by His mercy, but by His righteousness. Because He is righteous, you are made righteous. What is God righteous through? God is righteous to what Jesus did at the cross. And that's why the Bible used terms like this. When we confess our sins, He is holy and just. Notice that? Not merciful and kind. That He always is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed be His holy name. But it says He is holy and just. Those are judicial terms. Amen. To forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is just to what Jesus did for us at the cross. Amen, friend. And today, the scarlet sin, the worst kind of sin towards God that you can ever commit is not to believe what Christ did at the cross. When God's righteousness says, I declare you righteous through the blood of my Son, for you not to believe God is to question His righteousness, is to question His holiness. Amen, is the worst kind of sin you can commit. And friend, that is the most important thing that we can ever receive from the Lord. And anyone can receive from the Lord. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, being born again, having a new standing before God. When God looks at you, God sees a righteous man. God sees a righteous woman. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you think that's the greatest blessing of all? But the second blessing, if I ask you, what is the second priority in terms of blessings? What's the second greatest blessing you can ever receive from God? What would you say it is? It's going to be healing, according to the Bible. And the Bible says in Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Notice the first benefit, amen, which means the greatest of all blessings, who forgives all our iniquities. So you would agree, right? Forgiveness of sins, all our sins, is the greatest blessing we can ever receive from God. Amen. But notice the second, who heals all your diseases. Who heals all your diseases. You see, the priority that God puts on healing, it comes right after salvation. And many times, you know, even Jesus, when He healed, He will say, your sins are forgiven you. You'll tell the man who was lowered from the rooftop, remember, the friends broke through the roof to lower him down to where Jesus was because they could not get in because of the crowd. Well, Jesus looked at the man and it was obvious he needed healing. But Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven you. First thing, amen? He needs to be assured his sins are forgiven before he can receive healing. Always remember that. One of the primary reasons why people cannot receive healing, I believe, is because there's a condemnation about them. There is some guilt that they are feeling, some condemnation that they have received, amen? And therefore, they feel that they are not worthy enough, they don't deserve the healing, they are not holy enough to receive that healing. And friend, we have to eradicate that. Amen. Jesus did not heal the people when He walked on earth. He did not heal them because they were holy enough. None of them were. But the Bible says, as many as touch Him. Now, He didn't go around healing everybody in Israel. No, not everybody in Israel is healed. Not everybody in Israel is healed, even when Jesus was here. But the Bible says, everyone that reached out to Him to touch Him, everyone that beseeched Him, every one of them that responded to Him were healed. Amen. So that's important for us to know that. And Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So you know what's God's will for healing? Look at Jesus in the Gospels, not the Jesus of people's imaginations or a certain denomination's perspective or someone's opinion, but the Jesus of the Bible as revealed, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see Him going around healing all they were oppressed of the devil. You know, friend, if healing is not that important, why would Jesus go around healing? Everywhere He went, He healed. Everywhere He went, He healed. He could have just gone around forgiving sins, right? He could have just said, your sins be forgiven you, your sins be forgiven you. But instead, He went around, the Bible says, healing. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The Lord Himself gave us an example. Everywhere He went, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good. And what is God's idea of doing good? Healing healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Notice that that sickness is an oppression from the devil, not from God. Not something to teach us a lesson. Amen. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. God is the healer. Amen. God loves you and God wants to heal you. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. So healing is a priority with God. Praise the Lord. By the way, even the man that Jesus pronounced, your sins be forgiven you, he proceeded to heal the man. Rise, take up your bed and walk. The man was healed. So the priority that Jesus placed on healing is demonstrated in his life, everywhere he went. Now, don't spiritualize that and say, oh, it means spiritual healing and all that. Friend, when we are born again, we are not spiritually healed. Literally, we are recreated. We are regenerated. That's what born again means. Amen. Now we need healing for our minds. We need healings for our emotions. We need healing for our bodies. That part needs healing. Amen. The part of our emotions, our minds, from depression. Today is rampant mental depression and all that. God wants to heal you of that. Amen. Amen. And God wants to heal your body. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the more I think about it, the more I look at the Bible, I can't go away from the fact that this is a priority with God's heart. And yet we have neglected this. We've neglected to preach this. And I know, I understand that there's sometimes pastors and leaders, they are intimidated by healing. So it's easier because of, the devil has successfully disseminated this one thought among believers. And it's this thought. What if I pray for people or for someone and they're not healed? And he has successfully disseminated this thought down through the years to the point that when people look at the subject of healing and they are intimidated by it, they'd rather not deal with the results, especially the negative results, right? And it's easier to say, I believe physical healing is not for today, because of the fear that you have. Should someone look at you and you pray for somebody and then the person is not healed? You know what? That's only our ego. Our ego is concerned about looking good and all that. Hey, keep on praying because it's God's will. Even for us who pray for the sick, we believe in healing. We minister healing to the people. We don't always see 100% results. But you know something? We are seeing more joyful results, amen, now than we did back when we didn't emphasize on healing. Amen. When we didn't teach on healing, now we are teaching on healing, we are seeing more and more results. And we are learning more and more as well every single day about healing. And I thank God that by the time Jesus comes again, the last enemy is physical death. Amen. They will be put under his feet. So for Jesus to say that last enemy would be physical death, that means every other enemy would have been put under his feet already. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, pastors, leaders, shepherds, it's incumbent on us, and I'm speaking to all the care leaders as well in our church. If you're listening, listen carefully, friend. It's incumbent on us to not just preach and teach, but to minister healing. The Lord himself gave us an example. Look up here. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Notice teaching comes first. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. If a question is ever asked, does Jesus heal every sickness? Here you have it. Not everything that Jesus did is recorded in the gospels, because John himself says if they were recorded, I suppose that even the books of the world cannot contain all that Jesus said and did. Amen. Then Jesus went about all the cities, number one, teaching, number two, preaching, and then always healing. Always healing. That's the pattern of the Lord. By the way, this scripture appears in more than one gospel. This is the pattern of the Lord he left behind for all of us. And it's incumbent on us to not just teach, not just preach, amen, but heal. Heal. It reminds me of the time that God actually has an indictment against the shepherds of Israel, and God spoke this indictment through prophet Ezekiel. This is what God said. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Now, this shepherd principle applies for all times, okay? And God says to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed, here it is, those who were sick. Nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. You know, many times we say that people scatter because of their rebellion. You know, they don't have a heart for God. You know, they don't want to be holy. They don't want to pursue the things of God. But the Bible's declaration of why sheep are scattered is always they don't have a shepherd. They don't have a shepherd. Or you have a shepherd, but the shepherd is making gain out of them. Amen. In other words, they are there for him, not he is there for them. Now, friend, one of the things that God says that the weak you have not strengthened and you have not healed the sick. Very clear, you have not healed the sick. Now, actually, when I read this, I derive great encouragement, because if God holds me responsible for not healing the sick, if God holds all of us shepherds, leaders, care leaders, amen, if God holds us responsible for not strengthening the weak, for not healing the sick, that means he has given us the authority and the power to do so. And for us not to do it is a dereliction of our duty. Amen. And there's to be no dereliction of duty in the pastoral ministry. Amen. We need to flow with the Lord, see his pattern. Remember Jesus in Matthew 9 again? In fact, right after Jesus said this, in verse 35, we read that just now, he went around teaching, preaching, and healing. The next verse says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Like sheep having no shepherd. So believers, amen, who we call them backsliders, people who have fallen away, or the people of the world, you know, they are scattered, you know, they are weary, they are rebellious, they are going astray in all their ways and in their habits and their lifestyle. It's because they are just plain rebellious, they are just plain disobedient. Amen. No, the Bible says they don't have a shepherd. Because when they have a shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Doesn't say, I have a lot of friends, I have lots of friends who will take care of me, I shall not want. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that I have a good education, amen, and I shall not want. Doesn't say that I belong to a wealthy family, you know, my future is secure, I shall not want. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say, you know, because of my smarts, amen, because I have achieved this and that, I shall not want. No, the Bible says, because the Lord is your shepherd, you will not want. Not even the Lord is your Savior. Thank God, amen, that He is our Savior. But when the Lord is our shepherd, that means what? We allow Him to feed us. That's what shepherds do. Their primary assignment is to lead the flock to pastures, amen, to feed the flock, amen. And then to strengthen those who are weak. To pour in the oil and the wine, that is pastoring, that is tending to the flock. Amen? For feeding the flock and tending to the flock. Remember, Jesus answered to Peter 2 times out of 3. When Jesus asked Peter the question, do you love me? The Lord's reply, the Lord's answer to Peter was, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. So 2 times out of 3, the third one is actually 10, or shepherd my sheep. But 2 times out of 3, he says, feed my lambs, the young ones, feed my sheep. Amen, feed my sheep. The Lord's love language is like this. It's like he says to us, You love me best when you feed my sheep. You love me best when you feed my sheep. Are you hungry for God's word? I love feeding you because I know I'm loving him. Amen. In a way that he appreciates, in a way that his love language. Amen. Feed my sheep. In fact, in Song of Songs, it says this, the woman was asking, and the woman there is the type of the church. Amen. The believer. And the believer is asking this question. Oh, thou whom my soul loves, tell me where you feed your flock and where you make your flock to rest at noon. So she wants two things. She wants to know where the food is, where you feed your flock. That's food. And she wants to know where rest can be found and where you make your flock to rest at noon. And the answer comes. It's so beautiful. The Lord could have said, oh woman, or the Lord could have called her by name. But instead the Lord says, if thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women. I love it. I love the way the Lord addressed us. Amen. And we are actually asking the question, which means we don't really know. Even so, even in spite of our ignorance, he sees us through the eyes of grace and he sees us as the fairest among women. That means the most beautiful among women. In God's eyes, in the Lord's eyes, that's how he sees us. That's how he sees you and me. Amen. He says, if you do not know, O fairest, O most beautiful among women, follow the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. So the answer to the food that she was asking for and also for the rest, amen, when it gets really hot in midday, the shepherd will lead the flock to some nearby stream where there's a lot of, trees and shed for the flock to just eat really good, and then they will rest under the shed. Amen? And that's where he makes the flock to rest at noon. And the Lord says, if you want to know where food, sustenance, and rest is found, amen, you know what you need to do? Follow the footsteps of the flock. In other words, remain with God's people. Amen? Stay in the church. That's where the footsteps of the flock. Follow the flock. We are a church. We're not meant to live life solo, you know. We're not meant to be, you know, the Bible is, New Testament is all about loving one another, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, ministering to one another, singing to one another, amen. So everything is about community. I know during this time of the pandemic and all that, that has been greatly curtailed, especially in a physical way, but we still can get online and get together. Amen. So you're following the footsteps of the flock, because where the flock, his flock is, he is not too far away. Amen. He's always there. Number two, the rest that she's asking for, he's, you know what he says? Feed your kids beside the shepherd's tents. The more you feed others, you'll be fed yourself. The more you feed others, you'll be fed. Amen. And that's when you're fed, you are rested. Praise the Lord. When you are fed, you are rested. In Psalms 23, it says, he leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures before that. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So still waters in Hebrew is waters of manuka. Manuka means restful waters. Waters that's not in turmoil. It's not rough, wild, flowing, free-flowing, but waters that is tranquil. Amen. Easy to drink from. Amen. Waters of rest. Literally waters of rest. But before he brings you to a rest, he feeds you first. He makes you lie down. That's rest among the what? Green pastures. Now that for the sheep is food. Green pastures is food. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we always remember that the number one need of the flock of God's people is food. Always remember that, you know, someone you meet along the way, amen, even though it's a short encounter, feed them, share with them something, invite them to the church. But don't just invite them, feed them, amen, feed them, feed them. Even that short time, whatever God has shown you, amen, it's meant to be shared. It's for you to feed others. And when you feed others, you'll find your own nourishment and rest in the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it is easier to criticize someone who is praying for the sick, amen, teaching healing to the flock, because that sort of justifies us for not teaching it and not ministering healing to the flock. You know, you criticize them by saying, well, what about so-and-so is not healed? What about so-and-so is not healed? But thank God, why don't we celebrate those who are healed? Like I said, we don't see always 100% results, even in our ministry. But you know something? We are learning. And it's an upward stumbling. It's an upward learning. And we know that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. When we see Jesus face to face, there'll be no more need for healing. Amen. Because we have a body that has been transformed like unto His body. Hallelujah. A body that will never be sick again, will never grow old, forever young. Amen. Forever energetic. You can never feel bored in that body. Amen. And best of all, you know you can never die. Death is far from you. Death has been thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. Amen. Death is dead. Hallelujah. The last enemy to be put under Jesus' feet is death. And that's physical death. Amen. Because we have all transcended spiritual death. When we got born again, we are all born spiritually out of spiritual death. But the last enemy is physical death. And they'll be put under Jesus' feet. And we're looking forward. And the day is fast approaching. Amen. Anytime soon, amen, the Lord will call for us and we'll see Him. Hallelujah. And we'll be like Him. Amen. The Bible says, everyone that has this hope purifies himself. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, instead of criticizing, amen, let's pray for those who are ministering to the sick, for those who are ministering and healing, all right, to the flock. Let's encourage them. Let's celebrate them. Let's encourage them even further, amen, to press in, to learn about the secrets of healing that's in the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool. Now, keep this in mind. In Jerusalem, there's a place called the Sheep Gate. There are a number of gates around Jerusalem, and one of the gates is called the Sheep Gate. And by the Sheep Gate, there was a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. The word here, Bethesda, is the word Bet Chesed. Bet is house. Bet is house, like you would say Bethlehem. Bet is house. Lehem is bread. Jesus was born in the house of bread, and He's the bread of life. Amen. Bet Chesed. Chesed is grace. Amen. Bet is house. And notice that it has five porches, five colonnades, five porches. Five is a number of grace. Five is a number of grace. If you look at the tabernacle, it's all in measurements of five and multiples of five. The fifth time Noah's name was mentioned, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. The fifth time Ruth's name was mentioned, Ruth says, I shall find grace. Amen. So five is a number of grace. Amen. Just like in the Bible, scripture numerics, God is very careful about portraying truths with numbers. Amen. And this is not numerology. Okay. This is scripture numerics, which means every number has a meaning. Just like the Hebrew, even names have a meaning, which we'll see soon. Just like right now, we see Bethesda, you know, a house of grace. Chesed is grace. When the psalmist says, when David says, His mercy endures forever, that's His grace endures forever. Today in Israel, they use the Hebrew New Testament. If you look at the Hebrew New Testament, everywhere, you know, believers, I'm talking about believers in Israel, they use the Hebrew Bible. Of course, but their New Testament is also in Hebrew. Okay? Now, wherever grace is found in the New Testament, you know what's the word there? Chesed. Chesed. And Delitzsch, a scholar who translated that, Delitzsch is an amazing Hebrew scholar, and Delitzsch himself, a Jewish man, you know, he studied for years, and he's very meticulous about words and its accuracy. So he translated grace as chesed, where it says, for example, John 1:17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In Hebrew, it's going to be chesed ve'emet. Emet is truth. Chesed, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that tells us that everything about chesed in the Old Testament, His mercy endures forever. No wonder the translators were at a loss. One Bible translation will say, His love, His loving kindness endures forever. Another translator will say, his love endures forever. Another one will say, his mercy endures forever. Amen? But that one word that captures all this is the word grace. And grace came into fruition, into its fullness, amen, and was manifested fully in the person of Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Chesed. So this is the house of chesed, grace, house of grace, just like Bethlehem is the house of bread. Now, I was preparing for this, and the Lord reminded me also that, he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. If you look at the Hebrew language, there are no numbers for the Hebrew. In fact, their letters are the numbers. For example, Aleph, the first letter, is the number 1, all right, or the value of 1,000, depending on the context. And then you have Bet. Bet is number 2. Amen. When you use number 2, they put the Bet there, all right, instead of numbers. Okay? So Bet is 2. Keep that in mind. By the way, Hey is 5, number of grace. Amen. Hey is the upbringing of God. God looked at Abram and he was unfruitful. Amen. He had no results. And God breathed into Abram and God breathed the hay into Abram. God has 2 hays in his name, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. God breathed the hay into Abram's name. Abram became Abraham and he became fruitful. Within a year, the child came, the promised son came. Amen. And then God looked at Sarah, and Sarai, her name has the Yud at the end. And Yud is the number 10, which stands for the law. And God removed the Yud, and God gave her Hey, the next Hey in God's name, Yud Hey, Vav Hey. God breathed that Hey into Sarai, and Sarai became Sarah, which means princess. And she became a mother within the year. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And, you know, it's beautiful. When you look at the 5 loaves and 2 fish, as I was preparing this, the Lord reminded me of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. So 5 is hay, and then you have the 2 fish, which is bet. Amen. Number 2 is bet. Aleph, bet. Bet is number 2. So what is God saying here literally? Bet is also house, right? Bet is a picture of a house. Like you say, bet hesda, bet lehem. Bet is house. And you have 5, house of grace. Only in the house of grace can you find food and supply. No wonder the prodigal son, what attracted him to return to the father's house was this: in my father's house, there's bread enough and to spare. Amen. There's bread enough and to spare. And Jesus demonstrated that he's the bread of life. Amen. In the house of bread. So today, the house of grace, the house of bread is the church. Amen. The church. Every time you invite someone to tune in to the church, amen, and to be part of the church, you are doing them the greatest blessing ever, amen, this side of heaven, because you are introducing them with all their needs, with all their multitudinous problems, and you're bringing them to the supply. And in the Father's house, there's bread enough and to spare. And by the way, Jesus calls healing the children's bread. Amen. It's all about feeding, feeding, feeding. Amen. We eat the bread, we become strong and whole. Hallelujah. Back to John 5. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, again, it's a picture of the law. Why? The law always demands for some strength on your part to execute an action. Amen. But we are bankrupt. We are spiritually bankrupt. We have no strength of our own. The Bible says we are without strength. Christ came and died for us. Amen. But we are such creatures of laborious effort. You know, we are always trying to be worthy enough, to be deserving enough to receive, to be holy enough to receive from God. It's always work, work, work. And we don't realize we cannot. And the idea of the law is thou shalt not. It puts back the whole thing on your strength. And God knew from the start when God gave the law that man cannot. So why did God give the law? By the law is the knowledge of sin. Amen. The law is like a mirror. It is so true to the reflection. right? Or who you are, the mirror reflects. But you see a blemish on your face, you look at the mirror, you see the blemish. You cannot use the mirror to wipe away the blemish. That's what the law is. Amen. God knew we cannot keep the law. God knew that. Amen. That doesn't mean today we're not under the law, we don't live a holy life. No, 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 1,000 times no. In fact, the more you fall in love with Jesus, you fall out of love with sin. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the one, twos and all that just falls into place. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says. Don't see that as you got to love me by keeping the commandments. No, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. And the commandment of Jesus is not the 10 commandments. It's love one another as I have loved you. Does that mean today we are not under law? We don't keep the 10 commandments? No, we supersede the 10 commandments. Instead of thou shalt not steal, we become generous. Amen. We lavish ourselves of all that God has given us. We pour out unto others. Amen. You know, you can keep thou shalt not steal and still not be generous. Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, a lot of people interpret that as physical adultery. I don't go to I don't jump into a bed with another woman other than my wife. All right, I'm okay. No, no, friend. As long as you're giving someone, you know, the eye, the lustful eye, Jesus says you've committed adultery already. So you know what? The law was given to expose every one of us so that all of us will see our need for the Savior. Amen. So today, when you have the Savior in your life, amen, the very thought of being unfaithful to your wife, amen, you shrink away from it. And that's something that no one can see because it goes on inside. The Holy Spirit is there. Praise God. So I remind you once again, when you are under grace, it was more than fulfill the law. Amen. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Hallelujah. Now back to this again. So the one who has the effort, who can step in after the angel stirs the water, right? It implies some effort. He's the one that gets healed. So how about the guy who is lame, paralyzed? He can't even, like, while he's crawling, scooting his way to the water, someone else stepped in, which is the case here. The Bible says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." There you go. Amen. He is lame. He cannot even walk, right? Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." Now let's go back to the beginning. The man, the Bible says, had an infirmity 38 years. Now he's a picture of Israel because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 2, Moses is saying here, "And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea," and Kadesh Barnea is when they the spies return and then they believe the majority. And because of that, they had to wander around in the wilderness. Remember that? Their sin of unbelief was committed at Kadesh Barnea. Right? "The time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of the Zered was 38 years until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them." So you have this picture of Israel. They wandered for 38 years in the wilderness. From the time of Kadesh Barnea, the sin of unbelief. They didn't believe the Joshua and Caleb, but instead they believed the 10, again the 10. Okay, and as a result, they had to wander for 38 years until the men of war all died. Now, there's a picture here. Sometimes the Lord allows us to wander until we realize we have no more strength left, until all the men of war. Here today is a picture of our, you know, our effort, our working mentality to get the things of God. Now, you know, you want to work hard in your job and you should be working hard, diligent. Amen. Working hard is one thing, but working with wisdom is what the Bible talks about, diligence. Amen. Now, that's okay. But when it comes to the things of God, you have to apply, amen, the principles of God. And the way we receive from God today is to rest. Amen. To believe. Rest and believe. Now, notice that Jesus did this miracle in John 5. The Bible says, let's drop down to verse 10. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." Now, let's see what he said. He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" You know, if you are lying down flat for 38 years, you can't walk. What is rest to you? What is rest to you? Is rest lying down some more? No, of course not. For the person who has been lying down for 38 years, rest is getting up. So Jesus says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Take up your bed. Take your rest. Amen. Now you can't take unless you are standing. So it's a picture of righteousness. Amen. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Take your rest with you. Amen. Take your rest. Walk in rest. Don't leave your rest behind. The principle of rest is still there. Now that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, rise, take up your bed and walk. Only then, when we proceed from rest, amen, and realizing our position that we are righteous before God, amen, confess daily, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ," then you can walk. Then you have the power to walk in the Spirit, walk in holiness, walk worthy of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Walk a victorious life. Amen. And notice what they said. The Jews saw him carrying his mat. And they said, "And today is the Sabbath. How come you're carrying the mat?" He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now, let me call your attention to these two again. These two verses. He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Notice the emphasis of the man who was healed was, "He who made me well." They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Their focus was on work. Their focus was not on the fact that he was healed. Now, which is supernatural? Which is really something that will bring joy to your heart? To know that your body is healed, or take up your bed and walk? Amen? Which is the work that they are emphasizing. So it's a matter of perspective. For them, they look at the man and they ask the question, "It is a Sabbath day. Why are you carrying your bed?" His answer was, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And they said, instead of seeing that he made him well, "Tell me who made you well," right? Come on, tell me who made you well. I want to bring him to see my aunt who is flat on her back with this paralysis. And come, tell me who is the one that made you well. Tell me who is the man. I want to bring him to see my son. I want to bring him to see my daughter. Come on, tell me who is the man. Instead of focusing on that. And there are people like that today, you know. They won't focus on the 10 people that are healed. They'll focus on someone who is not healed and start to berate the entire ministry. No, it's a matter of focus. Amen. They look at that and they are focused on work. No. You broke the Sabbath. You are carrying the bed. Who is the one that told you to carry your bed? Instead of, who is the one that made you well? And they could have been well as well before the day ends. It reminds me of the time when Jesus was in the synagogue one time, and there was a woman who was bowed down for 18 years. All right, that's the number of the Antichrist. 6 + 6 + 6, 18. 18 is a number of bondage in the Bible. You read in the Judges about 18 years of bondage, you know, more than one time. And here he's bowed down. She's bowed down for 18 years. Imagine identifying people by their toes everywhere she went. And then Jesus saw her. Now, it's amazing because in that day and age, the women are up there and they are not seen. They are not in the synagogue below, but they are up there where there is a lattice through which they peer through the service. Jesus called her, the Bible says. And even more so when she's bowed down, how could he have seen her? Yet he sees, you know, he sees you with all your needs. You think that no one sees your tears that you cry, you know, at night or privately. The Lord sees it. And he says to you, "For those tears I died." Amen. "I see every tear." And the Bible even says he puts your tears, they're not wasted. He put your tears in a bottle. Amen. For every tear, there'll be a recompense. There'll be a restoration. Hallelujah. Amen. And you rejoice when the day of restoration comes. Hallelujah. So he called her, and the Bible says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." And the very first face she saw was our Lord Jesus, his beautiful eyes of love looking at her. Amen. She was completely healed. 18 years of bondage, completely healed, just like the man healed 38 years of disease. And look at this. Follow the story now. And he laid his hands on her. She was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, now one of his church members just got healed. He should be really happy, isn't it? But look at this guy. Ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which man ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Notice his emphasis. 6 days on which man ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them. For him, come and be healed when men are working. In other words, he sees healing as man's work. A number of years ago, the Lord said this to me. When I read this passage, he says, the biggest mistake, he used the word, the biggest mistake those people made in the synagogue, amen? And the biggest mistake that my people are making today is to see healing as man's work. Just like this ruler of the synagogue. Come on a day when man is working and be healed and not on the Sabbath. And Jesus answered, the Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So to heal the sick is to water it, to water them, to give them water. Amen. That's how the Lord sees it. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Notice both of them said ought. But notice the ruler of the synagogue, his ought. Let's compare it. His ought is like this. There are 6 days on which man ought to work. Jesus said, so ought not this woman be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? It's a matter of perspective. Amen. The Lord saw healing as a greater priority than keeping all your rules. Amen. He saw healing as a greater priority than trying to, you know, be having a good impression on people. Amen. He sees the need more than the pride. Amen. Whereas for them, it is always the show. Amen. Show. Even if the ruler of synagogue, one of his members just got healed, he should rejoice. Invite Jesus back for more meetings, right? Ought. Man ought to work. Jesus says, ought not this woman be loosed? I love Jesus' ought. Don't you? Ought means, how can you let her even remain one moment longer in this bondage? Hallelujah. Back to John 5. I'm excited. Look at the truth of John 5. And so the one who was healed did not know who it was. Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, not every disease or sickness is caused by sin. There are some. For example, if someone is, you know, smoking all the time and then he has lung cancer and then, you know, he got healed. The Lord healed him of lung cancer. It'd be good to tell him, smoke no more. Amen. Sin no more. Don't go back to this particular sin. Amen. Lest a worse thing come upon you. And yes, smoking is sin because you're defiling the temple of God. Amen. And God wants you healthy and strong. God wants you to live very, very long. Amen. Pastor, do you believe I can smoke and still go to heaven? You can go faster, you know. Right? So remember this. Amen. The Lord loves you. Okay? So there are some sins, like some sins of some sexual sins, right? Can cause syphilis. Can cause problems with people walking as well. And probably this guy may have that problem. I do not know. The sin is not revealed. But Jesus is saying, don't continue in that sin that caused you this problem, lest the worst thing happen. Okay? So the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. By the way, because he had done these things on the Sabbath, in the Greek, the tense there is done these things. It's imperfect tense, which means it was Jesus' custom. It was customary for Jesus to perform healings on Sabbath. And we know that in the gospel accounts, there are many healings that happen on the Sabbath. Right? And I believe it's the principle of when you rest, God works. Let's keep on reading. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Did you hear that? My Father has been working until now. So when God works, people get healed. Hallelujah. Healing is God working. I repeat, healing is the Father working. Amen. And Jesus says, and I work also. When I see my Father healing, I flow with Him. I work also. And remember this, when God works, man should cease. Man should rest. And that's what the Bible says, our rest today in Hebrews 4, it let us labor therefore to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Therefore, it tells us the opposite of unbelief is not to rest. And our only labor, child of God, your only labor today is to labor to enter the rest. The devil comes to you and say, what about your children? What about that problem, that challenge and all that in school? You know, you just say, well, Lord, I'm entering into your rest even for this. I rest and I see you work. Doesn't mean you rest, nothing will happen. For the world, it is true. Okay, but for you, child of God, you have a shepherd. Amen. You have a Father who watches over you. When you rest, God works. But if you want to work, amen, God rest. You choose. Amen. When you rest, God works. The Lord is saying, my Father is working. Amen. That man, the reason I'm healing on the Sabbath is because Sabbath is man's rest day. Amen. Man rests on that day. You don't work. And that's why Jesus performed so many healings on the Sabbath. Amen. When man is rested, God is able to touch and heal. Now, one thing about healing, I've noticed that when people learn about healing and all that, one of the things they do, they want so much to be healed that sometimes they get into works. They try to, have I confessed all my sins? Have I confessed the word of God enough? Have I done this? And whenever you find yourself striving, no more in rest, it's a clear example of you are now in unbelief. Okay, so don't do that. Amen. When you find that having done all, stand and say, Lord, I'm resting in you. I'm resting in you. I don't have the faith to believe for my healing, but I'm resting in you, Lord Jesus, that your faith will carry me through. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Lord, in regards to this situation, my financial situation, Lord, I rest in you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because you are working on it. You are working on it, and I praise you. My job is just to rest and to praise you, to believe you, Lord, to thank you, Lord, to enjoy your love for me. If you do that, when you rest, God will work. And He will work wonders. Whenever He works, He makes all things beautiful, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill Him because He not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Now, before I close, I just want to share with you that, you know, when we are hungry, sometimes we feel hungry. We think it's physical food that we need. Then we try to eat something, but still that hunger is there. And it's deeper than just food. And then we try to maybe watch a favorite drama. You know, after the drama is over, we are still hungry. We go to bed spiritually hungry. You know what is it? You have not been feeding on God's word. And the Spirit of God is just stirring you. And that hunger means you are alive. Amen. That hunger means you are craving for something greater that this world cannot supply. Amen. And all the movies and all the entertainment of the world cannot supply you the food that that hunger is craving for, because you are created for greater. Amen. Amen. You are great. You have an elevated taste now. Amen. So the things of, you know, when you have a good, for example, you know, when you have just worked out, right? Really worked out. Do you feel like eating chocolates and candies and, you know? No, and sweet stuff. In fact, after you work out, you don't want to waste your workout, right? You don't want to waste all the calories that you have burned. Usually, what do? You eat good food. Imagine hiking, amen, another country that's known for its beautiful mountains. After a day of hike, you go back to your camp, amen? What do you crave for? A bar of chocolate, amen? Some candy, some sweets? No, you crave for fish, amen? Steamed fish or eggs, you know, good stuff. Amen. So that's what you're craving for, friend. Read the Word of God. I want to encourage you, because when you spend time in the Word of God, that's the key to being healthy. It's one thing to be healed. It's better to stay healthy. Amen. The Bible says, my words, they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. You know, one of the times when I was reading the Word of God, just to excite you, okay, just to excite you, one of the times when I was reading God's Word in Nehemiah 3, and this is what I read. The first time the sheep gate was mentioned is here. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with the brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. Does that ring a bell? The sheep gate of John 5, we just read that. And this is the first time the sheep gate is mentioned in the Bible. And it's a time when Nehemiah and his people were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and they were rebuilding and repairing the gates of the walls, all the different gates. But notice the very first gate they repaired was the sheep gate, So when I read this, I felt the Spirit of God impressed on me to look up the names, to study the names. So I studied Eliashib. Eliashib means God restores. Wow, I said, this is interesting. So you have the sheep, right? And do you remember that, talking about sheep, Jesus' love for the flock is such that he shared a parable one time. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go out to find the lost one until he finds it? I love the way he says it, until he finds it. The Lord, even you're lost, the Lord's going to find you. He's going to seek you out and find you. He won't rest until he finds you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Until he finds it. Now, he says, what man of you will do that? None of us will leave the 99 just to go for the one. We'll say, let's cut the losses. Amen. If I leave the 99, something might happen to them. Just for the one that's lost, but for the Lord, his perspective is different. Amen. He'll go for the one that's lost. Amen. I'm sure that he'll put the 99 in the custody of another shepherd or someone else to make sure they are safe. He's responsible, of course. But the good shepherd will look for the lost until he finds it. And Jesus illustrated the 100 sheep. Okay, now watch this. In this Nehemiah story, they consecrated they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the 100. There you have the 100. 100 sheep, God restores. Interesting. I was getting very excited when I saw this and consecrated it. Then as far as the Tower of Hananel. Hanan is favor or grace. El is God. So it's the grace of God. It's another way of saying the house of grace. Isn't it amazing? The Father put the story that we just read just now of his son at this point in time, when the walls were being rebuilt, it's in the Old Testament. He has not yet come. He has not yet come, even as a baby. Amen. The story of John 5 has not yet happened. Yet the Father loved his son so much. Amen. The Father put this in the Nehemiah, in the Old Testament. Amen. The very first mention of the sheep gate has a hint of John 5. Where Jesus would heal that lost sheep. Amen. Lost. Amen. Lost in his sin. Lost in sickness. And he would heal. Amen. That one out of the 100. And the grace of God. So put this, there's a message here. And the message is this. God has restored that one lost sheep out of the 100 into his grace. Now I just want to excite you because, by the way, this is my Bible. When I first wrote it down, it's quite some time ago. And notice, this is exactly how I wrote it down. And this is my white margin Bible. I want to encourage you, have a relationship with your Bible like this. Amen. Get excited. Read the Word of God. Not every name you have to look it up. But when the Spirit of God, touches you or impresses on you to look it up, just if you're curious, and the Holy Spirit put that desire there, look it up. Sometimes you look up the numbers and the numbers have a meaning. Sometimes you look at a story and just a white reading of it, you feel a washing of the Word of God. Amen? I mean, you can take time with your Korean drama and this drama and all that, but if they are taking so much of your time that you don't have time for the Word, these are not healthy things. Why eat things that does not satisfy? Amen? I'm not saying you cannot. I'm just saying don't get overboard with it. Amen? Don't get so obsessed with it to the point that, the most important thing, the Bible says, attend to my words. Right before it says their life, it says attend to my words. Attend means what? If I'm busy and you say, Pastor Prince, can I say, I come to attend to it. I'll come back to you again. Attend means there's a priority. There's something I need to do. Something important. Could be a matter of life and death, right? Attend. Put things first. Amen. First things first. And then it says their life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Praise God. So get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Amen. Gospel is exciting. It has drama, romance, and pictures, the Hazon vision that God wants to impart to you that will steady you. I believe that every time you tune into God's Word, amen, every time you are hungry and you get fat, amen, you get fat, I believe that the messages, the food that God gives me for you will nourish you, sustain you, amen, strengthen you, revitalize you, and prepare you, equip you for the coming challenges. Amen. So God feeds you before He brings you to the battle. Amen. The battle is coming and it's not from the Lord. Listen, God doesn't fight against you. Okay. The battle is from the enemy, but God nourishes you. He makes sure that you're fed. Amen. Remember this. Melchizedek met Abraham before the king of Sodom met Abraham. The king of Sodom is a picture of the devil. Melchizedek is our Lord Jesus. God will always feed you before your temptation, before your testing, before your trial, before your battle. Amen. He nourishes you. So when God wants to feed you, allow Him to feed you. Will you? Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Even right now, praise the name of Jesus. I love the fact that when God moves and confirms the word with signs and wonders, I'm seeing right now someone being healed of a heart condition. In fact, only this year you were diagnosed with that heart condition. You know who you are. And I see that like many a times you have this habit of holding your heart like this. I do not know who that person is, but I'm telling you, God is healing your heart right now as you're still doing this again and you feel warmth in that area. You have like a permeating warmth. Amen. Go to the doctor. Amen. And have the whole thing checked out. I believe God has healed you. Receive that. And when it's confirmed by the doctor, please write to us and let us know about it. Amen. Someone has injured your upper arm. I don't know how you did it, but now you can't move all the way like this. Amen. It's like the pain will shoot up in your upper arm. I want you to move your arm right now. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There you go. Hallelujah. You can do it all the way. Praise the name of Jesus. Please let us know. Hallelujah. Let us know about this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. I see someone who broke out with rashes recently. Not now, but recently you broke out with rashes and your face is all like a bit red. There's still some redness on your face. And this has happened to you on and off and it happened to you on and off. I do not know who you are, but receive your healing, receive your miracle. The man who made that man at Bethesda whole, amen, that man, the glorified man at the Father's right hand, pronounces healing on you right now in Jesus' name. Receive your miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. A child, about a heart condition for a child. A child, I see a child going in and out of the hospital and a child with some sort of heart condition. I think it's a hole in the heart. And I see God, I see His hand holding the heart. I see the Lord's hand holding the heart. And it's almost like everything about the heart, everything about His hand is making a heart shape. It's like loving the child that's healing for you, for your child right now in Jesus, for that baby right now in Jesus' name. Receive that healing. Receive that miracle. Right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's compassionate, isn't He? He loves His flock. He loves His flock. He's pouring in the oil and the wine. He's pouring in the oil and the wine. I see someone with, you have a problem and with your joints and it flares up. It gets inflamed often and you've been told that you grind your teeth. Amen. Now, it might seem small for some people, but God is calling that out right now to heal you. Amen. Receive that healing right now in Jesus' name. Receive that miracle in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And here we go. Praise the Lord. There are people with all kinds of back condition, your cervical, your lumbar area. If there's pain in your cervical and there's someone else with pain in your lumbar area, in fact, the lumbar area, the pain comes like a sharp, like someone sticking a sword behind you. Right? You are being healed. Both of you are being healed right now in Jesus' name. Receive that miracle. Another person with a lumbar problem being healed right now. I see a lady who has a problem sitting down for long because your tailbone gives you pain. It gives you pain. You can't sit for too long. And right now, there's a warmth in that area. God is healing you. Receive your miracle in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God is stabilizing. I see someone with a prostate condition. God is healing your prostate, reducing the size of your prostate. I think it's an enlarged prostate. God is reducing the size of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a brand new prostate. Hallelujah. Healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sinusitis being healed right now. In fact, you can breathe for the first time for a number of days. You can breathe freely right now in Jesus' name. It's like God is drying up your sinus and He's healing your sinal cavities of all the condition in Jesus' name. Receive your healing right now. And all kinds, it's happening real fast right now. A lot of healings and miracles. Cancer healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Cancer pertaining to your gastro area, healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive your miracle right now. Receive rest and believe. Just say, Lord Jesus, I receive your miracle in Jesus' name. That's all you need to do. Amen. And sense His love. Sense His love. Faith worketh by His love. Amen. Sense His love for you and your faith will work. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are being healed right now in Jesus' name. Another back condition in the upper, your cervical area, the upper part, your center of your, between your shoulders. Someone has pain there and now all the pain is gone. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Knee condition. Amen. Whether it's the right knee or the left knee or even both knees, God is healing knee conditions right now. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, I declare your healing upon everyone that is tuning in right now, Lord. Whatever their ailment is, whatever their condition is, child of God, just rest right now first. Rest. You don't have to work. You don't have to pray. Let me pray for you, okay? And you know, it's not a time to be giving out. It's a time to take in. Amen? He wants you to receive. So rest and sense His love for you. Know that He loves you. It's not a matter of, you know, I'm trying to believe that God loves me when He doesn't. No, God loves you. Amen? The Bible says we have known and believed the love that God has for us. So know that He loves you. Now in Jesus' name, rest. Stop trying to believe, amen, and just believe that He loves you and He's imparting to you healing right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pronounce your body healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that pain right now, I rebuke that pain. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will not return. And its root cause is now cursed to its roots. In Jesus' name, it shall not return. This affliction will not arise again in your body. In Jesus' name, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ah, what a beautiful healing anointing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The house of bread. House of bread. Healing is a children's bread. Bless the Lord who forgives all my sins, who heals all my diseases. Amen. Who satisfies your mouth with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you've never made Jesus your Savior and Lord, friend, Christ died for your sins. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And God didn't ask your permission. He didn't ask my permission. He loved us before we knew Him. He sent His Son to die for your sins on that cross. And because God is outside time, He's able to look into the future to when you live and all your sins of your entire life, God has placed on His Son. Now, if you believe that His Son died for your sins, the judgment is paid. God can never, ever punish you again for your sins because Christ took all your sins. And therefore, if you believe in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to you. Amen. From God, because you are now in Christ Jesus. Amen. So pray this prayer with me right now, if that is you. Say, Father God, I thank you for Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I thank you, Christ died for my sins and you raised him from the dead when I was acquitted, justified in him. I thank you, Father God. I look forward to the coming of my Lord Jesus. Until then, the Lord is my shepherd and I will not lack for anything in my life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, stand to your feet if you can. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lift your hands all over the place. Amen. Our church is everywhere. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this house of bread, house of grace. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask, Father, that throughout this week, you will teach your people, Lord, to rest. Amen. For there remains, therefore, a Sabbathimos, a rest, a Sabbath rest for your people. I ask, Father, that you'll grant them, Lord, inwardly, Lord, that rest. That everything they do, they can be busy outside, but it'll be motivated, it'll be imbued, it'll be controlled by a restful spirit, Father. And I pray that you will prosper everything they do because of that rest. This is our inheritance. This is our promised land, your rest. So, Father, I pray that this coming week, your people will not move in fear, worry, anxiety, or regret about something in the past, or fear of the future, or worry about what is to come, but they'll remain in the now. Now is the salvation time. Now is the time of favor. Amen. I pray, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would just impart to them, Lord, that rest, Lord, into their hearts, their minds, and their spirits. And help them, Father, give them the grace to labor throughout this week, only for one thing, Lord, to enter the rest. Labor to enter the rest. I know it's an oxymoron, but labor to enter the rest. Will you? Amen. The Lord protect you and your loved ones from the COVID-19 virus, from every harm, danger throughout this week. The Lord favors you, smiles on you, grant you supernatural favor everywhere you go. You are a blessing going somewhere to happen throughout this week. And the Lord lift up his countenance on you and your loved ones and grant to you and yours his wonderful shalom, well-being, wholeness, and peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Until then, I'll see you.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
This month, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry, we will send you the Healing Scriptures CD album. As you listen to Joseph read powerful, life-giving scriptures over you, let the promises in God's Word bring health and wholeness to every part of your body.
I am the Lord that healeth thee, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee.
And for a gift of $60 or more, you'll also receive the inspirational package, Faith for Healing. Dive deeper into the Word and discover how the communion is all about receiving all that Jesus has done for you.
The children of Israel fed on roasted lamb, a picture, a shadow of the true lamb. The Bible says they came out not one sick, not one feeble, and they only fed on the shadow. You and I, we hold the real substance in our hands.
Request this faith-building resource today. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Dear friends, if you're not currently part of a local church and are looking to be planted in one, can I invite you to join us online at Grace Revolution Church? We planted Grace Revolution Church with a mission to bring together communities of grace believers looking for a church to call home. Now our services are also being broadcast online every Sunday. You can join us for a time of worship, partaking of the Holy Communion, and watch one of my most recent sermons from wherever you are across the United States. I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online. So if you're looking to be part of a community of grace believers, join us for service every Sunday. God bless you, and I'll see you online for church this weekend.
For this life is just the start.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.